Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Welcome, everyone, to the Medical Advantage podcast series. I am your host, Selena Dussault, and today we are joined by Bill Riley, our Director of Marketing and Business Development. Bill and I are incredibly excited to announce a new quarterly series for our podcast, Finger on the Pulse of Healthcare. We'll be discussing hot topics and changes happening in our industry. Today, we'll be discussing some of the unique changes and challenges from COVID-19 that are impacting practice operations in 2021. So as we get started, Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited to start this series. So to kick us off, would you like to take a moment to introduce yourself, tell us what you do, and what brings us here today?
Thanks, Selena. Sure, my pleasure. So I'm the Director of Marketing for Medical Advantage, and I get to support our go-to-market in a few different areas, a few different lanes. One is our engagement working directly with the clients that we're supporting each day. I'm also involved in engaging new distribution channels, and in particular, those associated with our parent company, the doctor's company, and the opportunity to get our services connected with any number of the medical practices that agents and brokers within the TDC family support. And I guess the third thing I would mention is I get to participate with our growing list of partnerships, other third-party companies that we've aligned with to bring broader solutions to our medical practice clients. So helping with the go-to-market and helping with introductions and such.
Great. Thank you, Bill. So with that, I'd like to jump into the beginning of our content today and what's really set the stage for our conversation. Of course, COVID's been the hottest of topics and posed so many unique challenges, but what's really of interest now is how that's impacted practices and what changes it's incited for 2021. So can you speak to what has changed as practices are starting back up while patient visit volume is rebounding, and what opportunities this offers to reestablish best practices this year?
Yeah, thanks, Selena. You know, we all see it in the news every single day, whether it's a coronavirus graph that's trending in the right or the wrong direction, or, you know, exhausted medical staff, clinical staff, just trying to keep up with caseloads and testing and everything else. Our lens on that, or at least my lens on that, is a little bit different, just in terms of the practices that we get to speak with and interact with, and sort of the next layer down of implications for practice. So, you know, patient volumes, yes, telehealth has certainly helped. And yes, depending on the region of the country or even the location within a given state, in many cases, patient volumes have begun to rebound, absolutely. But in other cases, they haven't. And you know, some practices are struggling just as much as, say, you know, going back almost a year ago now. Another area where we see a lot of hard work is just around staffing challenges within a given practice. You know, we're working all the time with practices that have members of the staff in quarantine themselves. Either they've tested positive or they were exposed to a known positive case. So now, you know, they're going through the whole quarantine protocol. Or another one that, you know, maybe we don't often think about is members of the staff that have to work virtual. We saw some of our practices send their non-essential staff to work virtual right away, you know, going back earlier last year. In other cases, it's more on an exception basis where, let's say, it's a member of the billing staff and they've got a middle school age kid who now their school is all virtual. So the kid's at home, you know, learning through Zoom all day, And now that associate has to work from home, and practices are just kind of struggling with how do we do, you know, the work is still getting done, but we're not all in the same building anymore. So, you know, how do we work through all that? So this is a lot of what we're seeing, just helping practices work through. Visit volumes are not always back to where they were pre-COVID, and what is the implication on revenue there? And then we've got the added challenge of the staff, you know, not at full capacity either. So, you know, that as a starting point, I think that kind of sets the context for what we can talk about here today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill. And we've absolutely seen how this has impacted all levels of the practice down to some of the personal needs that you've mentioned. And every day we've seen practices doing some really unique things to kind of keep their heads above water and adapt to these really unique circumstances. So I'd like to get your thoughts on what that looks like in 2021, as practices have been adapting over the last year and coming up with new solutions. How do you see that transitioning into this coming year? What some of these solutions are going to stick in the year going forward?
Sure. I think an easy way of looking at this is in categories or buckets. And the way we like to talk about things whenever we're engaging with an individual practice or a healthcare organization is we look at the categories of clinical performance as one, financial performance as another, and then technology or data is really the third. And we're seeing practices make improvements or make changes really, really in all three of these categories. So how about we just talk through these in order? Where do you want to start?
So let's start with the technological aspect, because we've heard things like revenue cycle management, telehealth, and EHR performance come up over and over again. So I think the basis of having technology that supports your operations would be a really important place to start.
Great. Yeah. So, and you named an obvious one. Going back, gosh, close to a year ago now, while Medical Advantage has provided telehealth advisory services for a long time, our story is no different than what we hear so many others say. There wasn't a lot of engagement. There wasn't a lot of interest, but that really exploded throughout much of last year. I think we did more. I know we did more individual telehealth services engagements, just working with practices, everything from helping them to select the right telehealth solution for their environment to working with the staff and training the staff, including doing role play sessions with physicians or members of the clinical staff, all the way through to assisting the billing, the back office part of a practice, just around billing and coding, especially in the early days when there was a lot of variability around what payers were looking for in terms of, you know, the right billing code and the place of service and other modifiers. A lot of that is, I think, settled down today, but we continue to get inquiries and requests for help just around telehealth in general. So that's one, you know, that has certainly allowed for practices to get some sense of patient volume back. I would say today's take on that is kind of interesting. It's sort of like telehealth part two, or just adding on to that, if you will. So, for example, we're supporting practices. In some cases, it's a rural community or a rural area, and maybe there's not the broadband infrastructure or patients that don't have access to strong internet or you know, with are great with technology. So one example of working with practices to help get around that is putting in a workflow where patients can drive to the location, have the ability to check in with the practice, and then they receive a tablet, you know, and in effect they do the visit, but they're doing it from the parking lot of the medical center or the practice or whatever it is. So they can still do the visit, they can still have the time with their clinician, but from the safety of their own car. are is one example. Another is just helping practices become aware of capabilities that make it easier to operate in a COVID situation. So a simple example of that is several of the EHR vendors that we support or help to integrate have provided for patient check-in kinds of capabilities. In a normal time, you'd be utilizing the kiosk in the lobby of the practice, right? Well, today, many of these vendors have extended that functionality to the smartphone app, you know, or an app running on an iPhone or whatever it is, just to avoid the extra work of, you know, I arrive at the practice, now I'm calling the front desk, tying up the person at the front desk for that period of time, just letting them know, whereas now I can just use my phone, I can check in, the staff is notified, and away we go. So it's a much more efficient way of handling the whole check-in process. Many practices are so busy treating patients, they're not aware that these capabilities have actually been provided. So we're helping get folks up to speed on that. The next broad category that I'll mention is not so much a telehealth thing, but in the lane of technology, has to do with reporting. As practices are administering more and more COVID tests, there's a need for test results and reporting. You know, how many tests did I issue? Positive, negative, age, gender, geography, ethnicity, you know, all those factors need to be captured and need to be easily reported on. I think today we're seeing more and more of the EHR vendors, ambulatory EHR vendors, coming out with standard COVID test, you know, template reports. So that's great. Depending on the scenario, we're either helping the practice, you know, create a custom report just for their COVID testing, or we're taking a template that's available and modifying it to suit the specific needs of that practice.
That's wonderful, Bill. And I think that feeds really nicely into one of the other categories that you mentioned, that clinical aspect, and that, you know, as practices have sort of had to open up to the use of technology a little bit more, there are more and more opportunities to engage patients and change practice operations to be more efficient through some of the clinical technology that's available. So do you want to speak to that just a little bit?
Yes. So an initiative that's been underway for some time now around open notes, I think this dates back even to the Obama administration. So this is not a new idea, right? I'm a patient, the medical record, this is my medical record. I should have access to it, just like I have access to my mortgage statement or my bank account or, you know, whatever it might be. This is my data. And, you know, practices have made patient notes available for a long time now, right? You can make the request and you'll receive a PDF or a printout. You know, over time, I think some practices have charged for this, others have not. But, you know, now the coming ruling is that by April, I think by early April, practices are going to have to provide this capability. So not a new thing. I think some practices or organizations are farther along than others. But now that we're into 2021, we're getting more interest or more requests for help in this area. I think it starts with just the patient portal technology and what does a practice have in place already from whatever vendor they may have, and can this be utilized, or, you know, is additional investment required? So often with these kinds of things, I think the technology is actually the easy part. You know, it's putting in place beyond just that, workflows and taking a more holistic approach to looking at that whole scenario. Is the staff ready? You know, for example, we fully expect that the front desk is going to start getting more calls, right? As patients are able to see their notes and they might have questions, and some might be well-founded. You know, maybe there was a mistake in the note and, you know, there's mention of a certain medication. Hey, we never talked about that. So, you know, that's a good thing to correct any mistakes like that. But then there'll be other calls. You know, we like to joke about shortness of breath is often abbreviated as SOB in the note. Well, a patient's going to see that and they're probably going to call and say, what the heck? You know, why are you referring to me as an SOB? So, you know, these are the kinds of things that we can help a practice get ready for it. You know, not to mention, how do you roll this out to your patient population? You know, how are you going to create awareness and promote the fact that this is now available? Depending on the practice, depending on their maturity, in many cases their size and the resources that they have, you know, different practices are better at this kind of thing than other. But this is another in the, I guess, the technology bucket where we're getting brought into conversation. Yeah.
Great. And some other ideas regarding that clinical aspect, and we hear over and over again, care management and remote patient monitoring when it comes to maintaining that patient relationship, either from a distance or reaching people in rural areas. Do you want to touch on just some of the things that you've heard over the last couple months regarding maintaining patient relationships and using technology to augment that?
Yeah. And actually, this is a great segue to one of the partner relationships that I've got the pleasure of being involved in. We're working with a company called Wellbox, and Wellbox is a care management services company, and I'll come back to them in a minute, but you know, this is a great example of practices being clever. You know, if you think of the classic sort of care management scenario where you've got a population of patients, right, and then a subset of those patients that represent a greater risk, especially in a Medicare scenario, right? So these are older population of patients. Even in the best of times, the practice might have the ability to check in with that patient three times a year, maybe two to three times, or maybe once a quarter if they're doing really well. But now in the current environment, that becomes, you know, much, much more difficult, which is where a partner company like Wellbox can help, and where I think progressive practices will seek to be clever and figure out ways of leveraging other resources or gaining access to other resources to, in this case, engage with their patients. So, you know, Wellbox is a great example where they have licensed RNs operating as care managers who will engage with the practice staff to identify that subset of patients that represent a higher risk, and then outreach on behalf of the practice to engage with these high-risk patients and provide monthly, you know, utilizing telehealth technology to do monthly check-ins, you know, everything from making sure they're on track with their medications or they're adhering to the care plan that's been laid out for them. I think a lot of it is coordinating with other members of the patient's family just to make sure they're on board and helping assist with the care of the patient. And you know, meanwhile, making all of the updates and all documentation directly in the EHR of the practice. So that's a great example. It kind of cuts over both on the clinical side of things in terms of treating the patient as well as leveraging technology to, you know, make sure the patient is getting the proper level of care.
Absolutely. You know, the more that we talk about these things, all of these buckets really do feed into each other, because that is what drives practice outcomes and patient outcomes. So kind of the final bucket that feeds into both the clinical and the technology side is the financial bucket that you mentioned, when it comes to reporting and revenue cycle management, and something that we discussed in our previous podcast, financial dashboards. So I'd really love to hear your ideas behind how the financial aspect has changed over the last year and what that's going to look like for practices going forward.
Yeah, I think what the pandemic has exposed here is a trend that has gone on for quite a while, with healthcare organizations in general, individual practices specifically, which is around how do you, it's not just your billing, your coding, your claim submission process. I mean, that's a given. But in particular, how do you manage and deal with denied claims or claims that are partially paid and might come back with questions. I think in the best of times, you know, you got a waiting room full of patients and you're just a huge volume of patients across your practice and you're just struggling every day to get to 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock every day and get through all your patients because you just have so many, you know, in the best of times, if you've got, I think the national average is something like 4 or 5%, 3 to 5% of claims come back denied. If you're that busy, then, you know, maybe you don't need to put a ton of effort and energy into managing those denied claims. But now in our current environment, even with telehealth helping to keep our volume of patient visits going, on the whole, visit volume is way down. So, you know, we hear this all the time from the practices that we're engaged with. You know, every claim counts, every nickel counts. And this is an area where we've been pulled in. It's kind of like this, the telehealth example from earlier, you know, more telehealth engagements a year ago than ever before. And I think similar, the same can be said in terms of billing, claim submission, revenue cycle, you know, workflow, those kinds of requests for help. You know, the same is true. We're doing many more of those today than in the past. So in some instances, it's just taking a look at how a practice is doing this, especially if it's a bigger practice and they've got multiple billers. We very commonly find that there might be five billers that are doing it five different ways, you know, and they're not communicating or they've never really had to. They're not understanding or sharing best practices across the team. This is especially true if it's a specialty and the claim submission process and the documentation needs aligned with the codes utilized is very unique and specific to that specialty. Sometimes if there's been staff turnover and we've got new members of the team that don't understand or don't appreciate that, we can try to help accelerate their learning. I would say the biggest area is just in the category of denied claims. I think, unfortunately, many practices just end up writing, historically, have just written these off. And now they just can't afford to do that. So we help practices just take a look at, okay, how do I even understand what denied claims I've got and what is our process to triage these claims? Because you shouldn't just take them in the order in which they've received, right? There might be some that are being denied because they were submitted late, but wait a minute, we can prove that they were not submitted, you know, beyond the deadline. So, you know, we can knock those out quickly, whereas some others, you know, maybe they'll take on a lower priority because we have, you know, very little chance of succeeding. But this is where we see a lot of practices, especially, you know, maybe smaller organizations that don't have a lot of maturity in this area, you know, just helping them to facilitate teamwork, to facilitate commonplace or dashboard where the team can look at the queue of claims and assign, you know, sort of who's doing what. This is especially important as more and more billing staff, team members are not in the same place anymore, right? They're working from home, so it's not as easy to just walk down the aisle and go talk to someone. So this is another area, I guess, in the financial bucket where we're seeing a lot of activity. We're seeing a lot of practices start to invest time and energy into doing better.
Absolutely. And we know that 2021's bringing all kinds of regulatory changes that will undoubtedly change practice operations behaviors, from updated EMN coding guidelines to the enactment of open notes come April, and even updated MIPS ruling for 2021. So in these cases, it's not exactly what happens to you, but what you do with it. And we're seeing more and more that practices are taking this opportunity to really evaluate their workflows, their operations, their technology. And, you know, as these required changes come up, they're more equipped to tackle them when it becomes mandated. You know, we're seeing this as an opportunity to evaluate your practice and an opportunity to improve, from workflows to EHR. So this is so important, just given the hardships of this year and the toll that it's taken on everyone. So Bill, do you have any other closing comments or advice for clinicians moving forward?
Well, I guess the other big topic that comes up in maybe not every single meeting, but majority of our meetings is just the consolidation taking place across the space, the merger and acquisition activity, the role of private equity across, you know, not only specialties, but really the entire provider space is a big movement. And that I'm sure that's a topic for another day. I think, Selena, you're planning other podcasts, and we have webinars planned in the space. So we won't get into that for today, but that's certainly another big initiative hitting our providers, our practices these days.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Bill. And yes, we are planning additional sessions, both podcasts and webinars, in more detail on many of these topics. So I would like to invite our audience, you know, if you are interested in any of these topics in more detail, or if you have questions, I'd like to invite you to find us on LinkedIn and Facebook, where we often announce many of our podcasts and webinars, but also our website, medicaladvantage.com. And should you have any questions, you can also reach us directly at info@medicaladvantage.com. We are here to help. We're here to answer your questions. We know this is a very overwhelming time, and we do hope to be in touch and hope that you will join us on another webinar or podcast in the future. So thank you, Bill, so much for your insights and your time today. And thank you, everyone, for listening. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage Podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.